Amen. If you would pray with me as you're taking your seats there, let me pray for you. Lord God, we thank you so much for your presence here in this place, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to dive into your word here once again. We thank you, Father, that we can come before you right now with whatever is on our heart, God. And we are so thankful to know, Lord, that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, God. I thank you, Lord, that no matter what struggle we might have before you, God, no matter how long we've been wandering, Father, no matter how long we've strayed, God, we can come before you and you will receive us, Lord. We thank you, God, for receiving us today, Father. We ask, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak into our lives in a mighty and powerful way right now, God. I ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your words would be mine, God, that you would speak through me, Father, that you would allow your message and your message alone to be proclaimed in this place, Father. Help us all, Lord, that we might say yes to you, that we might respond by faith to you, that we might have the courage, God, to do whatever it is that you are laying on our hearts to do today. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Today we continue on in our series on what do I believe. And man, it has been so incredible just getting some of the feedback from some of you about how God has really been working in your life through this series. And I just think it's so important for us to be having these conversations. I want to encourage you as well that to make sure that you're having these conversations in your home too, with your spouse, with your kids, with your parents. Like it's really important to talk these things out. And this is not the place where we get to talk all those things out. But many times, I'll personalize this for myself. I know that for myself, I generally don't know what I believe until I say it out loud. Which is kind of scary, right? Because I say a few things out loud. But it is so important for us to be able to verbalize what it is that we actually believe, because sometimes when we start saying those things, we begin to realize, you know what? Now that I say it out loud, I don't know if that actually makes sense, right? And so I want to encourage you, make sure that you're having these conversations. Whoever it is that you can talk with, maybe it's in your community group, make sure that you're having these conversations there, and so that you are able to process together what it is that you do truly believe. As a little side note, by the way, if you're not a part of a community group already, I'd really encourage you to be a part of one. Like I said, it's great to be able to have a place where you can really just kind of process through God's word and really kind of think through and hear from other people about how they're thinking through some of these theological ideas. And so when we come together, it gives us an opportunity to do that, and that's what community groups are designed to do. If you're not a part of one yet, I would love to help you get connected with one, and we'd love to see that happen in your life. Today, we are going to, as we continue on in this series, we're going to talk about what it is that we believe about holiness and sanctification, right? I will let you know right now, I don't have any hammers or saws. I have a chair. Who knows? Maybe the Lord will lead me to throw the chair at something later on. I don't know. I'm just saying, if you came for the hammer, I don't have it with me here today, but I do believe that God has a word for us in this, and I think it's an important word for us to take in. I wanna actually begin in Romans chapter 12. And again, like a lot of the, or like several of the sermons before in this series, we're gonna have several different verses and passages that we're working through. And so if you can turn there, that would be great. If you wanna jot down the reference and come back to it, that's awesome as well. All of the scriptures will be up on the screen too, and so you can follow that way as well. But I want to start in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And it's interesting because many times we read these verses in sort of a different context, but not always necessarily within the context of holiness, which is, you know what, let me just read it. Romans chapter 12, Verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, I want to take just a minute to kind of hit some of these phrases that are in this text here in Romans, and then we're going to kind of come back to some of those as we go. First of all, this idea of there in verse 1 of being a living sacrifice, right? So there's so much in this that I wish I had time to unpack and everything there, but part of what I want you to recognize is that this has some very Jewish foundation to it, in terms that whenever the New Testament is talking about sacrifice, we have to try to look at that through an Old Testament perspective, right? Through a Jewish perspective, because they knew what it was to be a sacrifice, right? They knew for the animal what it was to be a sacrifice. And so here, as they're talking about this living sacrifice, there would have been a certain imagery in mind. The reason why I want to talk about this, though, is because sometimes I think when we talk about holiness, this idea of sacrifice is what first comes to our mind, right? Well, if I'm going to live holy, that means I can't do this. And if I'm going to live holy, that means I can't do that, right? If I'm gonna live holy for God, then there's this list of 1,000 things that I'm no longer allowed to do, because people who are holy can't have any fun at all, right? I'm just trying to say, I mean, that whether you've actually said that or not, I wonder if that isn't the idea that some of us just kind of have in the back of our minds, that, man, like, being holy just seems so hard because there's all this sacrifice that you have to do. And, well, again, I'm going to kind of circle back around to this eventually. It's not to say that there aren't sacrifices that need to be made. However, what I want you to recognize is that it's not just about what you can't do. That's not what holiness is. That's not what holiness is. Holiness is not just a matter of figuring out what you can't do. Holiness is actually a reorientation of every priority in our lives. Yes. Yes. Amen. I'll come back to that. Amen. It also mentions there in verse 1 that it talks about being a holy and being holy and pleasing to God, but then also in verse 2 references the pattern of this world. And while it may go without saying, I just want to clarify just for everybody here that being holy and pleasing to God is not compatible with the pattern of this world. Yeah. All right? I know that might seem like a, well, duh, pastor, like, I don't even have a Bible degree, and I could have told you that. Like, I get it. Like, thanks. I'm glad we're all on the same page there. I just want to make sure that you recognize that being holy and pleasing to God is not compatible with the pattern of this world. Now, and what I want to clarify in that, too, is that it's not just a matter of the pattern with those that are outside in the world. Lord, help me say this right. But sometimes, even in the church, we set up our own little world. Help me, Lord. And being holy and pleasing to God doesn't always look like our world in the church either. Do you hear me? I hope you hear me when I say that, right? So part of what I mean by that is being holy and pleasing to God doesn't mean that you wear a suit on a Sunday morning. I ain't mad at you wear a suit. That's fine. You can wear. You know, if I had the opportunity, I'd be standing up here in the flashiest suits that you'd ever seen in your whole life. But y'all can't handle it, so I don't do that to you. It's okay. It's okay. I'm not mad at you. They're still in my closet. One of these days, I'll pull them out for a sermon illustration or two. It's okay. It's okay. Right? I'm not opposed to anybody in a suit, but we recognize, but you see how we can kind of set that up as that's our church world, right? Part of our church world is that we talk in a certain way here, even though we may not talk like that when we get home, right? That's church world. Being holy and pleasing to God is not the same as the pattern of this world, even when we're with the church. Do you see that? It's not just a matter of going through the formality of looking like the church, because that would be the pattern of this world, actually. Right? Do you know that some people actually use the church as like a social club or even like a networking institution where they can either get referrals for business or just build relationships with people in order that they can kind of advance themselves? Do you know that some people actually do that, right? What I want you to know is that is not the pattern of holiness and pleasing God. Right? All of us, and let's just be real here, all of us come to this people called church in so many different ways. And most of the time, we don't come with right motives, right? Sometimes we do. But most of the time, we really don't know what we're getting ourselves into when we first show up, right? I didn't, right? I mean, of course, my, you know, for my story, it was I was a kid and my parents said, you're going, so I went, right? I wasn't there because I chose to be there. I was there because they said I was going to be there, right? Sometimes we have conversations with people and we're just talking about different things, and one thing leads to another. We end up like, you know, well, maybe I'll show up for a worship service sometimes. And we don't always have a real clear idea as to what it is that we're going to get when we get there, but we get there, right? What I want us to begin to recognize is that being holy and pleasing to God is not the same as the pattern of this world. It's just not the same. And we need to make sure that in order for us to live pleasing to God, that we find ways to deal then with the pattern of this world, which has found its way into our lives. We'll circle back to that. So the big question is, why would we do this? Why would we want to live holy and pleasing to God when we could just live according to the pattern of this world? Like, why would we want to do that? And the answer to that is, again, there in verse 1 where it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Church, I want to just sit on this for a minute, and then we'll get on to the rest of this. I promise I will. I got my eye on the clock. Don't worry. I'm not preaching on a calendar today, right? We're gonna get out today. But what I want you to recognize is that the mercy of God is immense. The mercy of God in your life, whether you recognize it or not, is so incredible. Like God, again, let me make a difference here between grace and mercy. Sometimes people think of grace as the unmerited favor of God. And what I would probably describe it as is really the power of Christ inside of us. But many times what we think of as grace is actually mercy. Mercy is we don't get what we do deserve, or we do get what we don't deserve, right? And so we need to recognize that because of our sin, maybe I should have brought that hammer back. Because of the way that we have kind of torn things up in our lives, right? We've broken our own lives with our sin, but all the mercy of God didn't allow us to stay in the consequences of sin. No, Jesus Christ came and he lived a perfect life and died a perfect death, and he was risen from the dead in order that we might be set free from the consequences of sin and death. Like, God did all that because of mercy. He didn't have to do that. He did that because he loves us. Even while we are walking in opposition to him, he still loves us enough to be merciful to us. Oh, like this idea of mercy, like sometimes I'll speak for myself. Sometimes as I'm reading in my Bible and I'll come across mercy and I kind of skip over this because, oh man, it's so much more fun to talk about the pattern of this world and how we can get out of it and all the, you know, everything the enemy is doing to bring us down and everything. But you know what? Be it not for the mercy of God, where would I be today? Like how in the world could I stand here before you? How in the world could you be here listening to the voice of God today? Like, how in the world will we all even be in where we are now if it not be for the mercy of God? And then even at the end of verse 2 here, so much in these two verses. Even at the end of verse 2 here, it talks about that then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Like what is God's will? Like, wouldn't it be great to know that? Do you understand that knowing God's will is connected to what we believe about holiness and how we live out holy? Again, verse 1 talks about living holy and pleasing to God, and that as a result of that, we are able then to discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Right? So many of us struggle with, well, what is God's will for my life? Well, I guess maybe the better question is, like how submitted are you to Him in terms of holiness? We'll talk about what that looks like here in a minute. Let me keep going here. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, and I know, like, when we start talking about holiness and we go back to Leviticus, you know it's about to get real serious, right? It says, "You are to be holy to me." This is God speaking. "You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own." Right? Holiness is about more than being saved. Hear me now. It's about looking different because you are different because of the mercy of God. All right, I'm going to say that again just in case you might have missed something there, right? Holiness is about more than being saved, right? It is something beyond that point of salvation. It's something beyond that moment when we decide to step up on the table, right? But rather, it is about looking different because you are different because of the mercy of God in your life. Let me keep moving here. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "He saved us and He called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." Now, I don't even have time to get into that whole before the beginning of time part. We'll wrestle that to the ground on another day. But one of the things that I felt like I actually kind of missed out on last week that I wish I would have talked a little bit more on was this idea the way we deal with our sin and even the way that we deal with holiness is an act of faith, right? Holiness is not a result of working hard to change our behavior. Holiness is not a matter of just getting your routines right and getting your habits right. Holiness is not just about doing stuff. See, because then that would mean that we could make ourselves holy, which is not possible. Rather, this is about the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. And see, this is why it's important for us to recognize that the gospel is not just about helping people, giving people a framework for how it is that they can deal with their sin in order that they might be saved, but the gospel is actually what empowers us to live saved and to live holy and to live pleasing to God. The gospel is that we can't do it on our own. When left to ourselves, all we do are stand there swinging hammers all day long. But it is only through Jesus that we are able to not only be set free from sin and death, but He's able to come rebuild the table. I promise I tried to fix it up enough so that I wouldn't fall off of it again, right? Only He's able to come and fix that up and to rebuild the table. Only He's able to do that. We can't do enough to be saved. And we also can't do enough to be holy. No, this is an act of faith. This is a believing that Jesus is able to do this in our lives. This is us taking that step that we cannot see and trusting Him to do something in us that we can't understand fully. It's a result of the faith to believe that God can sanctify us. That he can make us holy. That he can empower us to live holy through faith in the power of Jesus Christ. John Wesley actually talked about holiness and sanctification as what he referred to as the second work of grace. In other words, there was the first work of grace, which is for salvation. And many times we think of salvation as, yes, that's absolutely a faith step, right? I have to turn from my wicked ways and I have to go to Jesus. Like by faith, I've got to say no I got to put this to death in order that I can live life in Jesus Christ. And we can think of that in terms of faith, but many times when it comes to holiness and sanctification, we see that as like, well, yeah, but that's just something we got to work on, right? Well, I feel like we're stripping the gospel of its power then, right? Like, this isn't something, now don't get me wrong, like, this is something that as we are disciples, we are continuing to grow in our maturity, we're continuing to grow in our faith and those kinds of things, but we can't just work our way into it. This is an act of faith. See, the reason I say this is because sometimes people, even those that have been following Jesus for a while, they just get in their minds that, well, these issues that I have, that maybe some temptations that I've never been able to really get beyond, or some sins that I keep falling to, like I just have to deal with those because it's just always going to be a part of my life. And what I just want you to know right now is that holiness is not just a work into it. Holiness is a step of faith, and it means that even though you don't see that you're able to do it, it doesn't mean that God can't do that in your life. Holiness is possible. Holiness is possible for all of us. All of us, right? And just getting that idea in our minds is so important. Because if you don't think it's actually possible for you, if you don't believe that God can change you in such a way that you can live holy for Him, then you'll probably never submit yourself to Him in that way. You see that? It's sort of a self-defeating thing. Well, my mind says I can't, so I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to attempt to submit myself to God in that way. Because I can't do that anyway. The irony is that's actually exactly what you need to believe in order to be able to live that way. You can't do it. Absolutely true. But what is there that Jesus can't do in your life? What is it that Jesus can't heal in your life? What is it that Jesus can't forgive in your life? What is it that Jesus can't empower you to do? Like, he overcame death and the grave, and you're trying to tell me there's something in your life that he can't handle? Let me keep going here. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Now, let me speak to this here for just a second, because sometimes I think people think of holiness and they think perfect. Right? Because there's a lot of times, particularly in some different translations that you might read, that it actually uses the term perfect. And what I want you to understand there is that perfect doesn't mean sinless. It doesn't mean that you've never messed up. Perfect means complete. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Again, John Wesley actually referred to holiness many times as perfect love. Right? This completed love. This idea of having this total love for God and others that is reflected through what Jesus has done in us, and then reflected out to the world around us and to the God that we serve. What I want us to understand is that it's not just about not sinning, though. Holiness is not just about obedience, because then that would be very self-focused rather than God-focused, right? It's not just about I got this checklist of things I'm not supposed to do, so as long as I stay away from those things, well, then I'm living holy, right? It's not just that. And it's not just about loving others, right? Because then that would be other-focused and still not necessarily God-focused. What I would say is that the difference between being saved and living holy is kind of like the difference between eating at Chick-fil-A and working for Chick-fil-A. Right? Y'all know, I know y'all love that Christian chicken now, right? I know y'all love it. And that's fine. Hey, we give our offering on a regular basis to the Church of Chick-fil-A as well. We do a couple times a week usually. We're there. But I want you to see the difference in all this. In fact, let me bring this back up here. Because there is a difference between sitting here as a customer with food and saying, thank you for what you've given me, as opposed to being on this side of the table and saying, it's my pleasure. There is a difference between sitting here and receiving great service and then standing here and giving great service. Now, if you want to work at Chick-fil-A, and I probably should have done my research on this a little bit better by an in-depth interview with Joe Parsons, and I apologize, Joe. When I mess all this up, please don't ruin my illustration, Joe. But if you want to work at Chick-fil-A, then what you have to do is you've got to go and you got to fill out an application, right? You got to go and sit for an interview. And if they feel like you've got what it takes to by the way, I just want you to know, like, I wore this on purpose. Just, this was as close as I could get to a Chick-fil-A uniform, all right? I almost asked Joe to bring her name tag so I could wear that too, but then I thought that might be too much. So, but anyway, I wish I was kidding about that, but I really did. I put that much thought into it. And so you can show up at a Chick-fil-A and you can express the idea that, you know what, this food is good enough to eat, right? And I don't mean that like in a bad way, but I mean like you're willing to pay money for that, right? And you're able to receive what Chick-fil-A has for you. See, in many ways, That's what salvation can look like sometimes. And I don't mean to belittle that. Like, you could be out eating at Burger King, or I don't mean to get in a Popeyes war or anything there. Please don't start that, okay? I'm not even going to get into the spiritual implications of spicy chicken. But anyway, you could be out somewhere else, right? And again, and even as I'm saying all this, I'm really wondering how far I should take this illustration. But the truth is, like, even as we have been, we may now be in a place where we are seeking out God for who he is, but there were some times where we were out shopping some other places, right? And so you can come and sit in their restaurant, you can order their food, and you can understand that, yes, there is value in what I'm receiving here, and so it's worth giving to receive what they have from me. It's worth giving my life to Jesus because of what I'm receiving from Jesus. That is sort of the transaction, if you will, and I don't really like that word for this. That's sort of the transaction of what happens in salvation there. But holiness says, I'm not just going to be the one who's receiving everything from God, but rather, I'm going to realize that I want to be someone who is set apart to be on mission with God. So if you want to try to roll up in a Chick-fil-A and work there, you can't just wear whatever it is you want to wear. You got to have some black pants and a red shirt. You got to have the flashy little name tag that looks like they cost $100 a piece, right? Like, you can't just say what you want to say. You can't, well, now, Joe, you correct me later, but you can't even tell people you're welcome. You got to say, it's my pleasure, right? Y'all even know it. Look at that. Like, y'all already Chick-fil-A employees. Look at you, right? There's a mindset. There's a culture that they train their employees with in order that they know how they are expected to live within that environment, right? Now, the difference between salvation and sanctification or holiness is to say, you know what? Like, in salvation, I recognize the value of what I'm getting from God and I want to receive everything that I have from that. But then when I recognize that, you know what? I don't just have to be in a receiving mode, but that if I would by faith get up out of the chair and walk to the other side of the table, I can go through what we would call discipleship, what Chick-fil-A would call staff training, and I can learn what it is to be on mission with Jesus. And by faith, I can walk from the place of salvation, still holding on to my love for the food. And here's what's better, is that even as an employee of Chick-fil-A, I still get to eat the food. And not only do I get to eat the food, but I get a discount on it. Can I get an amen on that, Joe? No? Come on, don't do that to me. Don't do that. Right? So by walking by faith from salvation into sanctification and into holiness, I don't lose anything that I have. Rather, what I gain is that I'm a part of this thing. I'm not an observer. I'm not just a consumer. No, I'm living this thing, and I will gladly sacrifice all that I have in order that I might be able to do this job well. I will sacrifice my time in order to get that paycheck. I will sacrifice my language in order to be able to get that paycheck. I will sacrifice how I want to dress in order to get that paycheck. I recognize the value of being on the Chick-fil-A team, and so I'll change what I do in order to be on that team, and thank God I get to eat the food too. Now watch this. Let me finish with this one here. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this is where, when you want to talk about a distinctive of the church of God and who we are as a holiness movement, right? Like this is even one of those areas where I would say the church of God extended itself even beyond like where the Methodist church used to be and those kinds of things, right? Because we actually believe that you can be what was referred to as entirely sanctified. What that means is that we can actually be holy through and through. And so the difference here is that I am not just a consumer, although I thank God for everything that he has for me in Jesus Christ, but I can, through this process of sanctification, I can live holy for him. I can be on this team. I can be contributing toward the mission of being a disciple maker, but I can even go a step farther and I can say, you know what? I want to own a franchise. I don't want this to be something I just punch in, punch out. No, I want this to be my whole life. And so every single hour of my day is going to be committed to him, and I'm going to submit myself to him. I'm going to be sanctified through and through. Amen. You see that? Yeah. The question is, though, do we have the faith to believe that God can do that in us? Do we want to have the faith to believe that God can do that in us? Church, I want to encourage you, you can be on mission here. I want to invite the worship team to come on back up here. The question that we've got to wrestle with even now is, are we just going to give our order in order that we might get from the Lord? Or are we ready to start taking orders? Are we ready to start taking orders from God as to how it is that we are to live in submission to him? Are we willing by faith to say, Lord, I thank you for everything that you have given me. And Lord, by faith, I don't want to just consume what you have for me. But Lord, I want to be a part of the mission. And that means I'm willing to be that living sacrifice. I don't mind sacrificing things because I know, Lord, that what you have here is worth sacrificing for. I don't mind avoiding sin because I know it's worth doing all of that. I don't mind loving others because I know it's worth every bit of energy that I have. I don't mind. Lord, by faith, I want to walk in holiness with you. I want to be on mission with you. I want you to have everything of me. What if today we stopped just giving orders, but we actually found out how we could take orders in order that we could live in holiness with God? What is it that you believe about holiness? How is it that your faith will reflect all of that? Stand with me as we sing together. And I want to encourage you, maybe there are some areas of your life that you have been holding back from the Lord. You have asked Him to forgive you of your sins, and you've been growing in your faith, but there's still some things that you've been holding back because you're not really sure if you're ready to clock in and clock out for the mission yet. Like, what if today, by faith, you said, you know what, I don't really know what all that's going to look like, but I'm ready to say yes. I'm going to give everything. I'm not holding anything back anymore. No more stuff held back. I'm going to just live free for you, Lord. As we sing, if the Lord is speaking into your life, I want you to speak back. I want you to listen to what He's saying. I want you to respond by faith to Him. Pray through with your heart today. It's not a matter of earning it or working it. It's just a matter of believing that Jesus is able to do this in you as well. Let's sing together.